Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Wednesday, June 8th, 2022. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free through the tireless efforts of Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice. All you have to do is go to the internet at whyagain.org and click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner. It will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of the book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet, and it's a tool I've been using to great effect for almost 18 years to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships, and to turn any negative emotional experience I have into part of the infallible guidance system that each and every one of us has been given. You can also download the actual worksheet process itself. It's a simple PDF file. Click the link, download it, print it off, copy it as often as you'd like, and use it over and over again, absolutely free. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. And before you're done typing the word forgiveness, you'll see the glowing heart icon. If you choose to tap on that, it will let you download a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet. It contains an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and it contains a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. And we hope people do that soon and often because it frequently leads to an improved quality of life and relationships. And it tends to stimulate comments, questions, answers, testimonials. And if you have any of those that you'd like to share with us, please call us at 563-999-3581. When you call that number and press 1, it'll put the little icon of a hand by your phone number. I will turn on your microphone and announce you by your area code, and we can have a conversation. And as I like to say, we appreciate it when people do that because it makes it far easier for us to live into our intention with this work. The intention we have with this work is to be of service. So how can we be of service to you today or in the future? If you are not able to listen to this show live and you're listening through the archives, you can submit a comment or a question or a testimonial by sending an email to tjh@mindshifters-academy.org or Jeannie at jeannie@whyagain.org. jeannie@whyagain.org. So, what is on your mind? How can we support you? We've been working through the Way of Mastery this year since January 10th. And a couple of days ago, we started working through the second book in The Way of Mastery, The Way of Transformation. And we've been reading through that first lesson in the second book, which is titled, You Are Unlimited Spirit. Area code 610. Susan, what's on your mind today? How are you?
Hi, Dr. Tim. I'm okay, thanks. I had a question. I haven't listened to the replay of, I think it was Friday, in which you were reading about how we can actually choose to be different. And I'm asking way ahead of, I should have gone back and listened or found it in the book, but I'm just hoping you'll repeat what you did and we can hear that again. It sounded very exciting, and I haven't been able to figure out or do it, whatever it is.
Are you talking about from lesson 13?
Probably, yeah. It's whatever you read last on the last day.
Well, that's a fascinating conundrum. Let me take a look and see what the heading is.
Sorry.
For that day, what day of the week would that have been? The calendar
day
would have been.
Oh, yeah.
June 3rd. So if it was Friday, it was reviewing the first 12 lessons.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have even pressed one. It's just I will
well,
probably.
Well, so maybe
go
it was from
it
Monday.
Again.
Well, maybe it was from
maybe.
Monday.
Oh, yeah, today is Wednesday. I beg your pardon, Monday or Tuesday. Even might have been yesterday.
And the question was how we can be different?
Yeah.
Well, what they're calling us to in this lesson 13 in the first few pages we've read is to wake up to the fact that we are unlimited spirit. And it says, here's a simple exercise. Take just a moment within your consciousness and drop this simple pebble, this simple thought. Quote, I am not what I have perceived myself to be. I am unlimited, pure spirit, and everything is available to me. Therefore, in this moment, I choose to open access to other dimensions of experience so that I might call this moment to myself in an entirely different way.
Wow, that's it.
Just breathe into that and make that statement. And then as you read that statement or speak that in your own words, then watch what happens in the more subtle areas of your perception and energies and senses. It says, as the words are spoken, notice what images come to your mind. Notice any changes in your field of awareness. Perhaps you imagine yourself to be far more than just the body. Perhaps you imagine that you are abiding in a far greater dimension of existence than the one physical dimension you've been used to. Perhaps you see fleeting images of other things, colors of light, subtle feelings that perhaps you'd not seen or been aware of while you were focusing on the English meaning of these words. Or these vibrations that you're hearing. And just pay attention. What do you notice drifting through the field of your awareness? Pay attention to it. It says here, because you cannot imagine what you have not or are not experiencing. So if you're having an experience of it, it's a real thing at some level for you. You know, we are conditioned in this culture to train ourselves to believe that anything that we experience that is different from the people around us, they don't hear it, they don't feel it, they don't see it that way, we must just be imagining it. It must not be true. And what this whole first 12 lessons was calling us to is the idea that there's a lot more going on here then we can register with our five senses, and we are literally creating our experience of life moment to moment. And everything about the first 12 lessons is trying to get us to wake up to that, to understand that we're the ones creating our experience of life, and whenever it goes in a direction that we are uncomfortable with or don't like, we can change the way we're experiencing that flow of energy that we call life. That we can refuse to buy into any label of ourselves as just a victim of or just passively receiving this experience of life. But in order to do that, we've got to open up our awareness to things beyond just the very gross, heavy, blatantly obvious five physical senses. Does that make sense?
It does, and it reminds me of the end of The Way of the Heart when we were being told that all you have to do is call on us, and we are legion, and we are the angels, and if you think it's just in your imagination, you're mistaken. We are really there. And it's that kind of assistance that I think, well, I feel I need in order to do what you just read, which is to go into new territory, expand everything we thought we were, or whatever. And what page is that on? I want to actually spend some time with that.
It's on page 155, right in the middle of the page, right under the heading, An Exercise to Expand Your Awareness.
Okay, got it. I see it. Great. Okay, thanks.
And it's, you know, it's a wonderful question because it's the essence of this work. It is, you know, if you, as Michael Rice likes to say, one of the most unproductive ideas we've bought into, we've had offered to us and bought into, is that we are victims and that we are not creators.
Mm-hmm.
And everything
right.
about the way of mastery from the first lesson in page 5 is trying to help us wake up to the fact that that is a mistaken belief. We are actually creating our experience of life moment to moment by the thoughts that we choose to value and pour our mind energy into. That we don't have any choice about whether or not our mind energy is always on and always a creative force, but we do have a choice about where we point it, what we
mm-hmm.
direct it toward. And as we ask, so we receive. Michael Rice likes to say, a lot of people push back against that and say, well, I didn't ask for this, and that's not what I want. And Michael Rice talks about how my conscious logical mind is not my asker, is not my chooser. It's my energy, it's my emotional state. It's my unconscious mind
right.
that's, you know, mm-hmm. a million times or more powerful than my conscious mind. And that's where the resonance is coming from, that is asking for more. You know, I had somebody in my office earlier today, and her question was, why is it that I'm inconsolable? So if somebody asked you that question, what's the first thing you would do?
Well, I'd give me one example and get them on a worksheet or something.
Oh, okay.
Belief.
Well, it's very similar to what I did, right? Give me one example. That's one way to say it. I said, what do you mean by that word inconsolable? Right? Before
yeah.
I answer the question, I want to start, you know, basically understanding that or getting some kind of verification that the other person I'm talking to has the same kind of meaning for the words we're using that I have. I don't want to start answering a question
right.
until I know what the question actually is.
Right.
And so her answer was, well, whenever I'm upset and people say, there, it'll be all right, it has no impact on me. I brush it away. I don't take comfort from somebody else. I said, good, that's the same kind of definition I have for to be consoled or to be inconsolable. Okay, so now her question is, so how come I've always been inconsolable? And this is a person who, for her entire life, has been very emotionally sensitive, emotionally intelligent, aware, intellectually intelligent. And, you know, she gets premonitions and she feels things and she knows things that other people don't know. You know, it's not like she's a genius and a prophet, but she does have that sense. And when she gets that inner hit of intuition, it's always right. And it isn't always, you know, a chapter of a book specific. It's not like it's laying out in very minute detail everything that's going to happen in the future and when it's going to happen so that she can, you know, play the stock market and have trillions of dollars. It's not like that. But it is a knowing. It is a connection to intuition. It is an internal guidance system that's been strong. It's like when they say, you know, in the Star Wars movie, the Force is strong in this one. Well, this is the kind of person who has had a strong sense of her connection to her intuition her whole life. And she grew up in a family where they're very, very rigid, concrete thinkers, very traumatized, and so they've just made fun of her. And they've told her she's too sensitive and she's making it up and she's not real. So for most of her life, she has been pushing back against people who tried to tell her that what she felt to be the truth was baloney. So one thing is she's continued to strengthen her own connection to her insight and intuition. And the other thing is she's put a wall up between herself and other people who want to tell her, don't pay attention to it, or you're making it up, or it's not real. And that's my explanation to her about how she has become inconsolable. And the only option that's left for somebody like that, if they've gone down that path, is for the person to accept the fact that they need to console themselves, that they can be consoled, but only through going to their internal guidance. And or a higher power. You have to what?
Good work, Dr. Kim. You didn't go down the tubes hearing that. What I did with what you just said about her, I won't go into it at the moment, but I just have to say you were a good therapist. Very good.
Well, I'm inconsolable because I just listen to my inner guidance, and my inner guidance tells me I'm a horrible therapist. Just kidding.
Oh, boy.
But, you know, there's a real thing that happens when we have highly sensitive people. We watched a documentary in one of the support groups a week or two ago, and the documentary is just titled Sensitivity, the Truth About Highly Sensitive People or whatever, Sensitivity-The Untold Story. And it's the research that was done by a woman who's written a couple books on highly sensitive people, started working with this back in the 90s, and now it's been turned into a bit of a documentary. It's just over an hour long. And the fact of the matter is that about 20% of the population has these traits that this woman has decided to call highly sensitive people, right? To be mm-hmm. highly sensitive is somewhat different than Judith Orloff's book on
empathy.
The empath
yeah.
survival guide, right? To be an empath. It's very
right.
similar, but it's not exactly the same.
Mm.
And so there's a lot of good information to be drawn from this, studying people who have a higher than average sensitivity to sights and sounds and emotional energies, et cetera. Because...
What's the name of it again?
Well, the name of the documentary is simply, I think it's Sensitive, The Untold Story. I think I found it on Amazon, mm-hmm. on the Amazon video.
Right.
Amazon Prime kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah, Sensitive, The Untold Story. And it has people in it like Alanis Morissette, and Dr. Elaine Aron is the one who did the research on it and wrote the book about highly sensitive people. Aron, A-R-O-N.
Mm-hmm.
And Alanis Morissette. And as I said, it's you can watch it with ads or you can pay to watch it without ads. And it's only about an hour long. But
yeah.
Dr. Elaine Aron has some books about this, The Highly Sensitive Person, The Highly Sensitive Person's Toolkit, Doing Psychotherapy or Doing Therapy with the Highly Sensitive Person, The Highly Sensitive Person's Workbook. So she's been studying this and writing about it since the 90s.
Yeah.
So the reason I'm talking about that is because, you know, there's a on a level of scale, we're all the same. You know, at a certain level of scale, we're all part of the one mind. We all have equal value in the eyes of the Creator and all that stuff, right? We're all connected.
Mm-hmm.
But at other levels
mm-hmm.
of scale, there are people who are far more sensitive to certain energies, to certain sounds and sights, certain people's central nervous system functions at a different level of awareness, heightened awareness than others.
Mm.
Certain people have that from the moment of birth, regardless of trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And others have a very different level of sensitivity because they've been through trauma. So they've got a heightened sense of alarm and, you know, the high vigilance and scanning the environment. Mm-hmm. And those people are different than somebody who was born just naturally highly sensitive.
Yeah.
And the research that Dr. Aron has done indicates that if I'm a person who has these traits, as about 20% of the population has these traits, and they even say that they've studied animals, and about 20% of animals have these traits of being highly
wow.
sensitive
mm-hmm.
to their environment and these energies. But if I'm a person who's highly sensitive, I am going to be much more strongly affected in a positive way if I'm given good connected nurturance and love and support as a child. And
mm-hmm.
I'm going to be more highly affected in a negative way if I'm a highly sensitive person and I'm left in a neglected or abusive pattern in my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it isn't if you have these traits, automatically your future is determined. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
And there's a lot that people can do when they learn about themselves and the way they experience, process, and react to things to build on what strengths can be taken from my traits as a highly sensitive person and shore up the weaknesses or the challenges that are presented by my being a highly sensitive person. And the person I was talking about in the session earlier today is somebody who's clearly a highly sensitive person and had a very tumultuous, abrasive, abusive family life growing up.
Whoa.
And so, and then she's had a whole series of traumas throughout adulthood that, you know, make it so it's a wonder that she can function at all.
Whoa.
And unless she is encouraged to become aware of her inherent abilities and traits and sensitivities and trust them, like we were talking about when she asked, why am I inconsolable? You know, and if a therapist says, well, you need to just trust when people tell you it's going to be all right. Basically, that anybody who tells her that would be telling her, you should learn to ignore your inner guidance.
Right.
And that is not what I would consider to be good advice for somebody, anybody, much less somebody who's highly sensitive.
Right. That word inconsolable is powerful and filled with pathos. And I just have to hand it to you again because I went somewhere else with it. In fact, I had my usual favorite miserable fear response of, you know something about the basic nature of life and the universe, and you're about to tell me that it's sad. I mean, I would have had to jump over my own personal reaction trigger hurdle thing to get to where you went right away by just going with what she said and not being stymied by that word. That's a word you don't hear very often. You hear sad, you hear mad, afraid, but inconsolable. It's like a judgment. That's the way it is, and there's no help for anybody. So, again, good work, Dr. Tim.
Well, like you're saying, basically your interpretation of the word is that things are hopeless.
Yeah. Right. We just have to keep up a good stiff upper lip and get through. So anyway, I'm just looking at that while you talk.
Well, but to bring it back to the way of mastery, this is what everything about the way of mastery and the first 12 lessons, the way of the heart, is trying to help us do, is to come to our senses in a way, to come away from just the five senses and to expand our awareness, and especially here, in lesson 13, there's a call to say, you are not just the body. So let's begin practicing being aware of the energies, the more subtle energies around the edge of your sight and sound and physical sensations, and start asking yourself, what might be going on here that is more subtle than what my five senses can pick up. And, you know, they already in the lesson, we have this little paragraph or little statement, couple sentences that we just read, that I remind myself that I am not what I have perceived myself to be. I'm not what the world tells me I am. I'm not just a meat bag, a meat suit. That's not all I am, is a physical body, right? I'm not just the carbon-based memory. I am unlimited. I'm unlimited pure spirit, and everything is available to me.
I love that meat bag.
Well, if I'm more than just a meat bag, then I can have a different experience of my life. And
right.
I'm going to see what happens when I open up to those other dimensions of experience, and I'm going to do that right now. I'm going to ask to be shown what's going on here that goes beyond what my five senses can show me.
Mm.
And then a little later on, a couple pages later, it says, imagine being able to go to your grocery store and push that little metal cart up and down the aisle so you can fill it with the boxes of what appears to be fresh food and notice the thought waves of those
mm-hmm.
around you. Imagine the idea of being able to pick up on what's going on in their drama, in their story, in their life. Picking up on it, tuning into it, and actually being able to telepathically communicate to them that they are love or answers to their dilemmas.
That is so wonderful, Dr. Tim, because I think we all do that. We go to a place and we get a sense of it. There's a strong feeling tone of wherever we go. But I've never thought that we could do anything about it, or even that it was really true, but just that it was my take, my reaction. But you're saying these things are real and we're not victims of them. We just can observe and we can extend love. We can take that action and we can trust it. Boy, all those are wonderful ideas.
Right. And take a whole different mindset into that experience. Here's this exercise from Lesson 10. It isn't labeled an exercise, but it says, say to yourself, I'm here, I am free, heaven is now. The past has passed away, and I can choose anew. This day, I commit myself to teaching only love. How am I going to do that? By sharing only loving thoughts. This one day, I will look upon everyone that comes into my experience. And before I let my thoughts race off, before I let judgment take hold, before I say or do anything, I'm going to breathe deeply into the presence of my core, the Holy Spirit. And then when I look out through my eyes, my vision will be transformed by the simple acknowledgement of this truth. All minds are joined. I'm not looking at a stranger in front of me. I'm looking at one who walks as I walk, who feels as I feel, who longs as I long, and who is humbled as I am humbled, and who prays for peace as I have prayed for peace. Therefore, I'm going to breathe, soften, get connected to that source once again, and extend that loving energy to them. I'm going to offer them the peace they seek and thereby experience it myself. That's exactly the same kind of thing two lessons later that is talking about doing. Imagine being able to go into your grocery store and have that exercise from lesson 10 active in your mind and breathe and ask to be shown what's going on around the edges of my awareness. What's going on around the edges of my physical senses and the energies that I've been so heavily conditioned to focus on, which are not the only energies that are in my world? Even my science will tell me that. My science will tell me, hey, look, Tim, there's ultraviolet and infrared. There's, you know, deep vibrations that your ears can't pick up. There's X-rays and microwaves, and there's brainwave energy coming off of people, but we don't have scanners that can measure that you can carry in your hand as you walk around the grocery store. But that doesn't mean people's brainwave energy isn't there. It doesn't mean there's no gamma rays or X-rays or radio waves or television waves bouncing around in the field as you are in the grocery store. It's all there, but your five senses can't register them. So what if, like David Martin says in his book, Butterflies, Lizards Eat Butterflies, what if we have a capacity to develop a sensitivity to energies that are more subtle than those energies that are registered so easily by our five senses. And what if we engage in regular practice that lets us start to tune into those energies? That's what's being asked of us as we move into the way of mastery and the way of the heart, and even more specifically now in the way of transformation.
Mm.
And again, I had a whole set of talks I was doing, you know, in the first 2 days of this week about how I can't experience change. And the way of mastery here in lesson 13 says it very specifically. I can't have a transformation if I keep doing the same things over and over again. I have to choose to be different. And so they're suggesting and strongly encouraging us to choose a different level of activity and a different set of thought patterns and tuning into different levels of energy on a regular basis, because that's the only way we're actually going to start experiencing our life differently. And it says, you know, yesterday we were reading in the lesson, it says, please make the decision to use time wisely. In every moment, wherever you go, whatever you're doing, you can choose to use time differently than you have been trained to do it in the past. So let's get conscious. Let's get active. Let's get present. And as we do, we're likely to experience things far differently. Right. What if that 20% of the population that Dr. Aaron has written about in her books on highly sensitive people, what if those are the people that are just actually born with that awareness rather than they're the only ones born with the ability? What if everybody has that ability, but some of us aren't born as well with it at the surface, so actively available? But what if every one of us could develop that sensitivity? That's the kind of thing that the way of mastery and the way of the heart and now in the way of transformation is calling us to. Dr. Michael Rice has an intensive that he does on intuitive, you know, building intuitive strength, building your intuition. People have known for, you know, hundreds if not thousands of years that you can practice your intuition, your creativity, your connection to your inner awareness. And if you are willing to practice it, you can get better and better and better at it. Well, that's what the Way of Mastery is asking us to do here. And as we go through this, if anybody is having those experiences, they're actually practicing this and having any different experiences, whether it's at home with family and friends or if it's at a grocery store, we're all ears. We'd love to hear about it. You know, it happens to be that there's a certain percentage of the population that comes into my office that have those sensitivities, and that's a big part of the work I do with them, is helping them recognize what's there. Usually we have to begin with relabeling it, because usually they've labeled themselves as crazy or stupid or weak or, you know, vulnerable or too sensitive or whatever as a negative thing. And so we start with relabeling it, and then we start with, okay, so if this is the case, how can I tune into it more and use it to my advantage?
Yeah.
Like the woman in the office today. she has been labeling this thing that she calls her being inconsolable, she's always labeled it as a problem. Well, we've given her a way to look at it that says, this is one of your greatest strengths. And it doesn't mean that you cannot be comforted. It just means you're the one who has to comfort yourself, or you have to go to a higher source within you at that creative intuitive center and get your consolation and your comfort from there.
Mm-hmm.
Because that will leave you connected to your intuition and your internal guidance, and that will strengthen that connection rather than if you let go of that internal connection and try to let yourself be consoled by somebody outside of you who's telling you, oh, it's okay, it's going to be okay, and your internal guidance is saying, this is going to be a really rough ride. This friend of mine is going mm-hmm. to die. This partner of mine really is having an affair, et cetera. And if I let myself be consoled by somebody from the outside who's telling me something that's at odds with my internal guidance, I'm literally working to shut off or tune out my internal guidance. And I don't recommend that for anybody.
One of the things we talked about in our Zoom thing today, my Zoom group is amazing, and I should start by saying they have come to the point where as soon as there is any upset, they do the fastest worksheet ever. They'll think, okay, I've got a goal. Let go of the goal. Breathe. Ask to be shown. And then step back enough to observe, but it happens in a millisecond. It's like they've learned how to railroad through the worksheet very fast and come to a peaceful place and then have a good look at it from there. And there's a reason I'm telling you that, but I forget why I'm telling you that right now.
Because you had an amazing group today. Because something happened in the group today. What was happening in the group today?
Well, that was what was happening is they've reached a level of facility with the wake-up sheet. And so they are stepping into, I guess that's the connection, they're stepping into a new way of being. And the course, the way of mastery is taking it not just to that edge, but also to say this could be wholly new. We can be different than we thought we were. We can actually be new, made new and bigger, not physically bigger, but in our take about who we are and what the universe is. I'm not doing very well being articulate, but anyway.
Well, it's not surprising because there aren't really words for this. Right? I mean, this is the stuff that goes beyond words, each new heartbeat. So it's very difficult having words for this because it's not within the realm of conscious logical thought or our language. So yes, we are called in this work, we are being invited, whether it's the Way of Mastery or the internet online support groups or person-to-person mind shifter support groups, we are being invited to do life differently, to choose mm-hmm. to experience ourselves and the people that we're interacting with radically differently every day, every moment of every day.
And what you've been saying links up. I've had the experience of, reading the Course in Miracles and reading that we are in a dream, this world is an illusion, it's not real, and my mind can observe and sort of get what that means, but my experience is definitely still on this side of the fence, where I'm saying, well, whether it's real or not, I'm hurting over a grandson, or I'm worrying about somebody, and I haven't been able. One of us is very fluent in her enlightened state that she's in. Not that she doesn't come over this side of the fence, but she will say, "Why should I be upset about this? This is, we're all in a dream anyway, right?" I mean, she'll jump over there, and I can't go there. Mentally, I can go there, but my guts are on this side of the fence. And what you're talking about is a way to get back and forth, to put things to use without denying any part of our present experience. I don't know if that made any sense either, but that was what I wanted to say.
Well,
this is like a little bridge.
Well, what it comes to me to say is that every one of us is probably going to have issues for which these tools don't work so well in the moment when we're triggered and when that issue is up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just last night in the support group, this kind of thing came up, and I was talking about it because somebody was saying, you know, they were joking and saying they want me to start texting them whenever I get the intuitive hit that they're out of alignment, and text them some simple text message that helps them remember to do this work and realign and let go and cancel and whatever. Because they're saying how great it would be to be able to do that in the moment, but they get triggered and they can't do that. And what I said was, listen, as far as I'm concerned, my best life experience and teachings from the masters that I've been involved with, every one of us is going to have things where we get triggered beyond the point where we can instantly, easily take a breath and let go of it. And I gave the example of just on Monday morning, maybe it was just yesterday morning, I received a text message from my son, who's, you know, going to be 34 in a few months. And it was a message about how he didn't get the job he had interviewed for, and he was trying to keep his chin up, so to speak. He was trying to keep a good attitude about it, but it was very disappointing because he was very hopeful to get this new job.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be quite a jump up several levels from where he is now, and it came with all kinds of wonderful compliments that they were even considering him for the job, etc. So I started thinking about, all right, so what will I say to my son in it, whether it's, you know, on the phone or in text message or whatever, as a response to this notification that will be encouraging? And part of what went through my mind was, well, you know, come on. He went through a divorce of his parents when he was like 15 years old or 16 years old, and that was, you know, that's far worse than this. And so, you know, chin up, kid, you've been through a lot worse. And kind of, now, I would never say that kind of thing to my son, but those were the kinds of thoughts that came up in my mind. Mm-hmm. And then a half an hour later, I'm in the shower, and I'm starting to have all of these flooding thoughts about how horrible it was that my wife at the time decided so selfishly that she just didn't want to be a mother anymore, and she didn't want to be married anymore, and she didn't love me anymore, and the negative impact on my sons. And I had all of this flood of this anger. Now, this is going to be 18 years pretty soon, right? Since it's like 18 years since she said get out of the house, and 16 years since the divorce was final. So it's been a long time, and I've got these tools, and I've done, you know, EFT tapping until I've had calluses on my fingers like construction workers, right? And I've done worksheets with reams of paper before the app was available for the phone. I've spent money on ink, right? I've invested in Bic pens just because I use so many of them and all this stuff. But I still have triggers of these negative thoughts, and I have a hard time imagining just letting that all go.
Mm-hmm.
I've done a tremendous job with releasing the upset about the negative impact on me. But there's that idea, when I get an idea that this thing had a negative impact on my sons, I can still generate all kinds of negativity and upset. So, yes, it's wonderful when any one of us gets to the point where, as Michael would call it, he calls it process point, where you've done enough worksheets and the process is so familiar to you that you can basically do it with a thought.
Yeah.
And release the negativity and, you know, breathe through the energy and see it as false and see what it's connected to as a trauma in your past, and you get a shift. That's wonderful. And sometimes you can do that in half a breath when you're at what Michael calls process point, when you've been engaging the tools long enough and you've chosen a filter, a template for your own thought to approach, like the one that's suggested in Lesson 10 in the Way of Mastery. Today, everyone I meet, before I think or speak, before I let myself act, I'm going to take a breath, connect with my inner source and the Holy Spirit, and look out through eyes that have been transformed, and I'm going to see somebody who's just like me. I'm going to see a being of brilliance and light who's either extending that light or crying for help and healing. And that's going to be my template. That's going to be the set of lenses I use all day, every day. How is my life going to change when I do that? I don't know, it goes beyond words. Am I going to be able to do that all day, every day, just because I've read this book or just because I've done an internet show for 11 plus years, you know, 1 hour a day, 5 days a week, or just because I've been teaching these tools in the support group for almost 18 years? No, I'm not going to be able to do it all day, every day because of that stuff. I will be able to do it far better this year than I was last year.
Right.
It is building momentum. I am getting better at the skill of recognizing that I'm the one that creates my upset. And I do it by the choice of thoughts and the thought pattern of interpretation that I place on the neutral events which make up the flow of life. Life is just unfolding. Life is neutral. Life isn't good, bad, right, wrong, up or down. It's just this flow of creative energy, and we're all a part of it. When I choose an interpretation that says this is bad, this is wrong, this should never happen, this is only happening to me because I'm being punished for something I did bad in the past, I'm the one that then creates the experience I have because of that interpretation I'm choosing. And that's the only thing that ever creates my experience of life. The flow of life doesn't create my experience of life. That's an inside job. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So it's wonderful to be around and see other people who've worked at this hard enough that they seem to have it made. They seem to be so much better at it than we are. But they don't have it made when their core issues come up. They're just like everybody else.
Well, I'm so glad you said
that. Everybody is going to have triggers. Everybody.
Yeah.
I remember Stuart Wilde wrote a book, and he said, I am so tired of people, because you write a book or two on spirituality, people come up and say, oh, you know, my guru's enlightened, and my guru says this. He says, I'm so tired of people coming up and telling me about their enlightened guru. He says, I've started to say this to people when they come up like that. I say, okay, that's great. Give me his name and his number. We'll make an arrangement that your guru and I will go spend a week living at his family of origin's house, and we'll see who's enlightened at the end of that week. We'll go have your guru sit with his mom and his dad and his aunt and his uncle and his brothers and his sisters, and we'll see who's enlightened at the end of the week.
That's great. Oh, you said a few very helpful things, because one thing I've been wrestling with today is the fact that my daughter's youngest boy has come back from a gorgeous pilgrimage to Israel where he was rebaptized in the River Jordan. He's a very bright, very devout fellow. And he got exposed to one of his schoolmates who was over with him to COVID, and they thought they were going to delay his trip home because it was thought that he might get it. He kept testing negative to the point where they decided they could send him home, and he was massively disappointed because he has to go stay with his father. My daughter is away. And he's terrified and having panic attacks. And, of course, this is like what you talked about your son and then getting in the shower and triggering back to a memory. And those are the big issues. Just it was hard to handle knowing that he's struggling with being with a borderline father who doesn't treat him right, and he feels he has to stay with his father. He has no choice. All of those issues. And it's just good to hear you say, well, those issues are going to bring up the stuff again. Use the tools, but it doesn't just stop at some point.
Not that I'm aware of. Not as long as I'm still in the body.
Yeah.
It's of paramount importance that I acknowledge that, because if I don't, I will race off thinking I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm not the one creating my upset in this moment when I do get triggered to upset, and I will have every way to rationalize how someone or something outside of me is creating my upset. And then, as Guy Finley says, then I'll be able to rationalize any level of abuse.
Wow.
When I put blinders on, and that's exactly what happens when I think I can't be triggered anymore. When I put blinders on, that's what happens. I set myself up for a bigger fall.
When you said it invites any kind of abuse, what did you mean by that?
That I can rationalize any kind of abuse, right? If
by
I
you
think
towards someone?
By me towards anybody.
Sorry.
If I think I'm not the one who's creating my upset because I've done my work and I'm enlightened, then I create a mindset that says these people are causing me pain and I have a right to be pain-free, so I'm okay to do whatever I need to do to end my pain.
Wow.
And I'm blaming them for my pain so that I can rationalize any level of abuse. This comes from the Guy Finley talk where he says we must actively steal from ourselves every excuse to be negative, angry, bitter, hurtful, resentful, whatever. Because if we don't steal from ourselves those excuses to be negative, we will be able to justify any level of abuse.
Wow, I hadn't made that connection. That's good. Yeah, you think you're above it. You're done with it. Wow.
As soon as I think I'm enlightened, I don't get triggered anymore, I'm past this, I set myself up to be able to be abusive. There was even an example of this. I have no idea that this was that this might have been what was happening, but last night we were watching a Guy Finley talk, and he had blatant impatience with the people in the room who were going to be playing, you know, the roles that he had assigned for them to act out vignette in his talk.
Mm-hmm.
And he was blatantly irritated and impatient with them. And it was obvious. And it wasn't pleasant. And it was triggering for at least one of our group members. So, you know, the great and powerful Dr. Hayes, pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. There is no such thing as somebody who cannot get triggered. There is no such thing as somebody who is truly enlightened, and that means they can't get triggered. Because enlightenment is just this in-the-moment awareness, and my awareness can shift moment to moment. And if my awareness shifts to some false belief that I can't be triggered anymore, that's a very dangerous situation for me to be in, and it's dangerous for the people around me. So, thank you for sticking with us. and your questions today. I will remind us all that we come from love. We're made of the stuff that we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. Welcome, Jeannie Rice. Turning on your microphone.
Thank you, Dr. Kim.
You're most welcome and deserving. Have a great show.
Thanks. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mind Shifters Radio. And today is Wednesday, June the 8th, 2022. And our call-in number is 563-999-3581. And press 1, and that puts you in the queue to talk to us. And we'd love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show. And while we're waiting on Michael to get dialed in, I'll just say that I sent out the newsletter last night. So if you didn't get it, please drop me a line. Make sure that you are on our mailing list. And and you can also pick up, if you go to our website and click on multimedia and go down to news and newsletters, all of the newsletters that we've sent out from the beginning are out there. So the links are there. You can click on them and read what's going on. But the newsletter that went out last night, this week is going to be super busy. And so it's just reminding everybody of all the things going on. The book club is tomorrow at 3:30 Eastern time. Then Saturday, the 11th, we have our Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing group at 11 a.m. And it's a small group, so it usually finishes up in time. So at 2 o'clock, Michael is doing a free 3-hour Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop. It's going to be on Zoom. It's also going to be on Facebook. And so the information is in that newsletter. It's also on our website, the link for Zoom and how you can participate in that. And we'd love to see you there. Just another note, there was one change on the worksheet. So if you go to the website and you click on worksheets, then you'll get the newest wake-up sheet. And he said actually what he changed on it was instead of love, he changed it to honor, to be more in line with what we really teach. So that's out there. The newsletter's out there reminding everybody of what all's going on. Please participate, be part of it, and we appreciate you, and I'll welcome Michael.
Thank you, dear heart, and welcome, everybody. Delighted that you're here once again. And that change on the worksheet, you know, with really understanding, taking our understanding to new levels, that our function as human beings is to function as the presence of active love. And I errantly, as the culture does, had learned and taught that the word love is a verb, something we do. I'm going to love you. You're going to love me. We're going to love each other. And then consistent with the discovery that in Aramaic, the word love does not point to an action. The word love points to a state of being. So I had errantly had the idea on the worksheet in step two of I choose to love truth. And so that's something that I could do. And in the context of recognizing that we are the active presence of love, it would be silly to say, I choose to love truth. But, and so the shift in the language there is I choose to honor truth, to honor the energy that is truth and to bring that forward into the world. And so that was that change. And the focal point for a start for today is to talk a little bit about who we are as human beings. And Susan had sent me a link to an app, actually, where there's a project that's being done where they're presenting in a story form, very well acted out, portrayal of the life of Yeshua. And there's a very profound event that happens. This young woman who's been raped is pretty crazy. And one of the elders of Israel goes to ostensibly drive the demons out of her, like there's some entity in her. And of course, he does his little thing, but it doesn't have much effect. And Yeshua shows up. And he doesn't teach her. He doesn't scold her. He doesn't cajole her. He doesn't do anything except function as a human being, function as the active presence of love. And it's just a really powerful reminder that our function is to be human. And when we choose to be human, we choose to function as human beings, that expression, that presence of love brings healing. And, you know, Nicodemus is in this particular play out with Yeshua. And, you know, he's trying to do the law. He's trying to do everything right. He's trying to figure it out. I realized as I watched that it's really the figuring it out part that blocks us from functioning as who we are. So he's trying to figure it out, and he just doesn't get it. But when Yeshua shows up, delivering what in the context of that language is God, delivering the active presence of love, much as the line in the worksheet that says, when I choose love, it wakes up the love in everyone, then transformation happens. Lesson 159, Course in Miracles, came along this morning, and it just fit right into that whole thought process. And here's what it says. It reminds us we've received many miracles, and thus we're able to give miracles. Part of this is forgiveness. Receiving a miracle is receiving the vision of this mind that Christ had. This vision provides the bridge by which my mind, which has been lost in separation, is returned back to the truth. In that simple sentence is the whole essence of healing. Am I willing to walk the bridge of active present love back to, rather than being lost in all the dramas and traumas and insanities of the world, am I ready to walk back to the truth? This vision, the lesson says, brings an awareness of the truth of the light behind every form. So, in fact, each and every one of us, back of whatever we've done, whatever we've experienced, whatever our personas are, whatever our expression is, back of it all is this powerful vision and the presence of active love. This lesson goes on to say, and this vision reminds me that all is still as the Creator created it. All are innocent. All are still love in the mind of the Creator. Behold the store of miracles set out for you to give. Are you not worth the gift when the Creator appointed it to be given you? Judge not the Creator's sons and daughters, but follow in a way that has been established. As this mind that is in you, this mind of Christ, dream the dream of a forgiven world, holds the space, not fooled by appearance, not fooled by the energetic patterns of insanity, and therefore lending its creative power to the energetic patterns of insanity, but really simply being and holding to that space. This is a gift whereby a sweet transition can be made from death to life, from hopelessness to hope. Let us an instant dream with him. His dream awakens us to truth. His vision gives the means for return to our unlost and everlasting sanctity in the mind of the Creator. So an important practice is that of cultivating the awareness of the presence of love in you, and that that is in fact your created nature. That is my created nature. That is the created nature. No matter how far we've fallen away from that, no matter what we've been brainwashed in, no matter what we've been beat with, someone had posted a post with a question about what do you do with a child that's unruly, and I'm actually just writing an answer to that, but it also brought in a remembering of a poem that was written by Kate Gerbron. And so what I've written to this person who's mind as a parent is lost in the toddler's world, lost in what this parent has unresolved in themselves in relationship to the toddler. So they're asking the question, you know, how do I do this with a toddler? And my reply was, I'm just going to share it with you, read it to you. My granddaughter's taught me what my only job is as her grandfather. The day she was born, I got to the hospital waiting room about 2 minutes after my son had brought her out to meet the family. He had taken her back to her mom, but I could still feel the alive presence of her sweet, pure energy of love. She has reordered my life. I think this might be the reason children are given to us, to remind us. I remember every time in 46 months of caring for her that if something moves in me that is unlike that presence, unlike her as love, that which is moving in me is mine, and I have no right. In fact, I'm obligated to own and change what I might be tempted, as our culture so often does, to put on her. I remember that what is moving in me, and is not hers. She has taught me that my only job as her grandfather is to always remember and support the sweet presence of love that she is, rather than get lost in what comes up in me if she violates the goal I hold for her. This helps me remember who I am and let go of, forgive, anything other than love in me. I've learned to follow her lead and to assist her in bringing the expression of who she is into her life and her body. A long time ago, I learned that the root of the word educate is educare, which means to lead out. It does not mean to fill a child's head with information so that they will be good commercial servants like we were brainwashed into becoming. Too often, the indoctrination systems of the culture, called schools, have forgotten the child is a created being that has a purpose and a reason for coming into the world. The ancients warned, do not be conformed to this world, and there are specialists whose purpose it is to violate that directive and make the child conform. My job is to assist her in forming a mental, emotional body and physical expression that facilitates her unique expression. Back in 1923, Cahill Gibran published a book called The Prophet, and in it he wrote, and a woman who held a babe against her bosom said, speak to us of children. And the wise one said, your children are not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. They come through you, but not from you. Though they are with you, yet they do not belong to you. You may give them your love, but not your thoughts, for they have their own thoughts. You may house their bodies, but not their souls, for their souls dwell in the house of tomorrow, which you cannot visit, not even in your dreams. You may strive to be like them, but seek not to make them like you. For life goes not backward nor tarries with yesterday. You are the bows from which your children as living arrows are sent forth. The archer sees the mark upon the path of the infinite, and he bends you with his might, that his arrows may go swift and far. Let your bending in the archer's hand be for gladness, for even as he loves the arrow that flies, so he loves also the bow that is stable. So thank you, Susan, for that nudge last night to watch that video and for the Course in Miracles for giving us that particular lesson today. And to Cahil Gibran. And then particularly to the person on Facebook who asked the question of what do I do with my toddler? That just happened to bring that all together for me as a gift. And to remember that there are two aspects to this work that we've developed. One is to learn a set of tools and skills and practice them with which you can facilitate the removal of what is in you from the past that does not support your expression in the present, does not support your expression as the human being that you are. That's one part of it. The other part is to cultivate your relationship with the active presence of love in you. To cultivate your relationship with the truth that at some time, shortly after your birth, someone held you as a newborn and tapped into that sweet presence of love, of hope, of fulfillment yet to come that you were. And if life has not facilitated that for you, if life has not supported that, if life has not fulfilled its purpose, then it's time to start anew. Acquire those skills, those tools, to undo that which is not you that is in you. And then spend time in a mind that is quiet as a result of using the tools, cultivating the active presence of love that you are, cultivating the active presence of love in you, so that true and full expression is the gift that you bring to the world, your presence. And there's a reason why they call the present the present. It's because whenever you're there, there's a gift. And it truly is the presence of love that each of us is, that the world is calling for, clamoring for, crying for, begging for. And when we function out of that, we live in a state of truth. And living in a state of truth, you know, sometimes it's interpreted that, well, if you're going to be spiritual, well, you just have to lay down. And anybody that wants to walk on your face, you just let them walk on your face. And you don't say anything. And you don't tell the truth. And you don't hold people accountable. And that's all bunk. If one is truly acting as conscious, active, present love, they are able to stay present as love and have the hard conversations. The conversations that nobody wants to have, to address the issues of what is truly going on in the insane aspect of the world, if it is in that insanity, that it can be spoken and held to account. And yet can be held to account from a mind that is connected to active present love and really brings that into full expression. So that's what we are here to understand. That's what we are here to support. And that's what we're here to provide the whole body of tools that we've developed over the last half century to assist human life in being human life. And I especially express my thanks to Aria Rain for showing up as this presence of love. It was really awesome. You know, the day she was born, I was out running some errands. And as I said in the when I started reading that piece, I got back to the hospital just 2 or 3 minutes after Ryan had come out with her newborn. And he had left the room. He had gone back with her. When I walked into the waiting room, Jeannie was there and her other grandparents. And I walked into the room and her presence, that amazing, sweet energy of love was just, it filled the space so powerfully, reminding me of the experience I had when my daughter was born, when Krista was born, and the sweet presence of love that transformed my life in an instant. When that girl took her first breath, it shifted and moved energy in me in a way that no experience I've had since in doing this work has touched me. And that's why I offer that reminder that our function is that of that pure presence of love that we are, and to bring that into full expression with and for each other. That's what we are really here to do. And so they're my thoughts for today. Miss Jean, do we have anybody in the phone queue with a hand up or anything happening in the chat room?
Well, on both of those, however, I did get a question through the app.
And oh, great. Let's see what they have to say.
A really general question. I mean, it's so we can go into depth and then perhaps they'll write back. But the person's name is Jonah, and he says, how to say sorry to my girlfriend?
Never, never, ever, 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 ever say those words. We have developed over the years in this tool a tool we call the apology tool. And let me give a bit of background here. Probably the greatest atrocity that has been done to us down through the ages and that we've bought into is that we've had hidden from ourselves the fact that we are by nature creators. If you go to the opening words in the book of John, it does not say, as the Greeks tell us, in the beginning was the Word and the Word became flesh. In Aramaic, what it says is, in the beginning was the mind energy and the mind energy became flesh. And when you understand the ramifications of that statement, what they're saying is when you think a thought, and this is what they're proving in the cell biologist laboratory, is that when you think a thought, your structure has a molecule, a literal so-called physical molecule, something that comes into the realm of the senses. It's called a neuropeptide. And that neuropeptide circulates around in your structure until it finds a cell with a receptor site that matches. The neuropeptide lands on the cell and it inserts itself in the cell. And if you were on the inside of the cell looking, what you would see appearing in the cell is a new chemical compound, what we call chemistry. Mind energy becomes flesh. Literally, the cell biologist is telling us, becoming chemistry. So with that awareness, and I'd offer that is, in that little piece of information is the understanding of our creatorship. So now, if I say to you, I'm sorry that I did this terrible, terrible thing that has you so hurt, what neuropeptides are coming into form in my structure? if I've got your full attention, what neuropeptides are coming into expression in your physiology? But neuropeptides consistent the disease and the disorder that's going on, the pain and the trauma. I've just created more for it, of it, by apologizing for it. So we've developed what I like to call the apology tool. And the apology tool goes like this. First, I own what it is that I've done. You know, let's just use an example. Gee, I wasn't paying attention. I stepped on your toe. I apologize. Not I'm sorry for stepping on your toe. Your mind and my mind joined in the mind energy, the neuropeptides, and the physiological chemistry of I'm sorry for stepping on your toe is going to tend to incline energetically more of that to happen in the future. By apologizing, I've just reinforced the whole existence of whatever the error was. Whereas acknowledging, you know, I wasn't paying attention, and I apologize for what I did to your toe, and in the future, I'm going to be very careful to make sure that your feet are well taken care of. So now, what do I have? I now have my mind, I now have neuropeptides, messengers that are going to move from cell to cell to cell, that's going to keep me aware of how I'm going to care for you and support you. Which means I'm going to have to do some of the same for myself. And at the same time, I've engaged in the mind energy that you obviously are listening to that does the same inside of you. Now, which activity energetically is going to tend to handle that problem in the future? The one where you're focused and I'm focused on the problem and how I stamped on your toes and how sorry I am for it? Or the one where I acknowledged I made an error and here's my correction and we're both focused on the correction. Now, I not only have a support energy in me for the correction, but I've enlisted you in supporting me in the correction. Two joined together brings another level of power. So I would suggest that you never say you're sorry. Never, ever let those words pass your lips ever again. If you recognize that you're off base and you're in error, acknowledge your error, own your error, speak truthfully of your error, and then focus your mind and the mind of whoever's listening on what your correction's going to be. And now you've got support for going for whatever the correction is. And in the meantime, if, you know, let's say that your behavior came from some form of ill will, some form of hostility or fear in you, then the next thing I would do would be to pick up a worksheet. Maybe enlisting the person who has perhaps blamed me for them being hurt. The truth is I can't hurt anybody. Nobody's ever been hurt by what anybody else has ever done. I mean, shy of punching somebody in the nose, nobody's ever been hurt by what another has done. But if there's hurt in you, and I do a behavior that resonates your hurt, I can sure bring it up. And so if you're the person who is experiencing hurt around my behavior, then you are the ideal person to hold space and support me in forgiving whatever it is in me that brought me to the cusp of this willingness to do something that would be painful. And now we both get to move in the direction of healing. So that would be my offering in terms of how to apologize when you do something that is off base and how to bring correction to whatever it is that you've done. Any other thoughts for you on that, Jeannie?
No, that's good. I was just typing him an email letting him know that we answered it today and gave him a link to the email and also gave him a link to the newsletter. So.
And let's remind everybody that, you know, if you don't have the world's only forgiveness app, then please go to your app store on your phone, type in the words Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. Heartland is one word, H-E-A-R-T-L-A-N-D. Aramaic, A-R-A-M-A-I-C, forgiveness. you'll be looking at the World's Only Forgiveness app. Download it. And there are two different forms of the worksheet on the app for you to make use of. And as Jeannie just shared with us, there is a function on every page. It's built into the app that if you have a question, you just click a button in the whatever page you're on in the app, type your question, hit send. Jeannie will get it, and as she just did, she'll read it to us on the show. We'll answer it, and then as she's doing with this gentleman, she's sending him an answer saying, here's when and where we answered it, link to the show, and so one more way we can support you. So, you know, there are two different forms of the worksheet. We suggest that you engage both forms and just experience them. One has a slightly different bent than the other. Also, there's the children's game of the drag-on Klingon game that's designed to introduce children. And we found adults like to use that worksheet too. There is a presence of the commitment and links to all kinds of things that go to the website. So it's just really developing beautifully. Jeannie's actually been working on it again with the technicians in India as we're developing and enhancing the app so that it becomes more and more functional as a support tool. So please download it. Please share it with someone else. You know, if there's somebody out there in your world that you want to introduce forgiveness to, it's an easy way to do it. There are links to videos, audios, all sorts of things right there in the app from the phone. And one of the things that we did quite purposely in developing the app was made it so that there are as few permissions as absolutely necessary. You know how with most apps, you agree and you've agreed to let them use your camera and send emails and change settings and send texts and record video and record audio. I mean, you just gave them the farm. This app requires only one permission. Real simple. Purposely done this way so you can be confident that anything you put into your worksheets is totally private. And the only permission is it has to be able to use the internet in order to function. If when you complete a worksheet, you choose to save it, of course you have to save it somewhere, and it will ask for a second permission to save it to your drive on your phone. Other than that, there are no permissions required. It's designed to be as secure and as private as it can possibly be. So again, go to your app store, type in the words Heartland, H-E-A-R-T-L-A-N-D, all one word, Aramaic, A-R-A-M-A-I-C, forgiveness. You'll be looking at the world's only forgiveness app. And when we talk about forgiveness, we're not talking about how I'm going to let you off the hook if there's pain or trauma moving inside of me. We're talking about the Aramaic idea that if I'm in pain or trauma, it's because there is the energy of pain or trauma in me. And if I want to be alleviated of that pain or trauma, I have to go inside of myself and remove that pain or trauma. And that's what forgiveness is, the removal process. It is not the act of letting somebody else off the hook. So when we talk about that, and we're really clear that, I mean, there are other apps out there that say forgiveness on them, but there is not one of them that has the actual technology of the first century Aramaic Yeshua. There's lots of Greek stuff out there about how I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to let you off the hook. But when I let you off the hook, I may, you know, there's a benefit that happens. If I let you off the hook, so we're not saying don't pardon people. It's the Greek technology of pardoning. If I have pain or trauma in me that I've hooked to my brain's image of you, whenever I'm around you, I'm going to experience pain or trauma. if I pardon you, I can disconnect my pain or trauma around you, and I can be with you and not experience that pain or trauma. But I have done nothing to remove the pain or trauma from my physiology. And if I never learn to do that, then I get to live the title of my book. Why is this happening to me again? Because I'll get to play it out over and over and over again. So we're looking to put an end to that cycle and to really, truly take responsibility for whatever's moving in me at any given moment, and if it's based in pain, to get rid of it. That's the technology of forgiveness. And I'll just say that I worked with that Aramaic technology full time for a period of 35 years before I really began to understand it, before I really began to be able to communicate accurately just what forgiveness means and how it's done. My offering is the Western world doesn't have a clue. And it's time for us to get a clue. And so all of that technology is built into the app. If you're not engaging in forgiveness, you can go to our website. You can utilize the worksheet right there on the website. You can print worksheets off of the website and rock and roll. So, Ms. Jean, do we have anybody else in the phone queue with a hand up or anything happening in the chat room?
Nope, it is all quiet. So maybe give everybody kind of an idea of what's going on for Saturday workshop. And
oh, sure. Cool.
Yeah.
Also, sweetie, if you just kind of, you know, listen at this point, I just realized that I had gotten the windscreen for my microphone. That's so sensitive to my breath. So I just realized, and I just put it on when I muted my phone there when I finished talking. So hopefully my Darth Vader breath will have quieted down. People won't think that I'm running with lung issues here, and hopefully it'll get quieter. So if you just kind of give an ear to that and just let me know if this has helped any. And what we're doing, well, first of all, on Thursday, so tomorrow, at 3:30 in the afternoon Eastern time, so 2:30 if you're in Central time, 1:30 if you're in Mountain time, 12:30 if you're on West Coast time, we're going to do the Hear My Voice Book Study Club out of London, England. They're 8:30 in the evening. Great group of people. We've got people from the Middle East and people from Africa and people from England and all over Europe. We met some really awesome folks. And the young lady that's doing it is really dedicated to bringing forward these principles, which is pretty cool. So tomorrow we've decided we're going to engage with someone and do a 7-step worksheet with them. We're going to walk through the worksheet process step by step and do a Q&A as we do that. So if you're interested in that, then go to either the event page on whyagain.org, whyagain.org. I think Jeannie also sent it out in our email newsletter, so there's a link there. But you can tap into the Zoom call that will be happening tomorrow at 3:30 Eastern time. And join us for that. We should spend a couple of hours doing that. And then on Saturday morning, if you're interested in doing the still point breathing process, the second Saturday of each month at 11 o'clock in the morning, we step in and begin our mind shifters and still point breathing for the month. So we'll do that actual work on Saturday at 11 o'clock. And then on Tuesday evening at 7, we'll do the second session in that. And that's a series that we started several months ago, and it's going to be, you know, just an ongoing series every month. And it's a fee-based workshop, so if you'd like to join us for it, you can sign up in different ways. It's kind of set up like a membership sort of thing, and you can do a one-month experience. That one-month experience would include Saturday's workshop and Tuesday evening session. It will include two videos that introduce the Mind Shifter process, and we ask everyone to begin the Mind Shifters process prior to the workshop on Saturday. And so if you're thinking about doing it and you'd like to register for it, drop Jeannie a note, J-E-A-N-I-E at whyagain.org. And she'll get you registered, or send your phone number and your name. We'll get in touch with you and get you registered. And then she'll send you out the two videos. We'll invite you to watch. It's Mind Shifter's Introduction to Still Point Breathing and a special Mind Shifter's Introduction. We'll give you the Mind Shifters for the month and show you how to pick out a Mind Shifter for yourself to work on and do some writing on. And so you can do that single registration for the 1 month. You can, and the cost to do that's $150. You can do a 3 month registration, and that drops it to $125 for each of the 3 months. Or if you register for a year, then you can do the whole year for $900. So it's well under $100 a month to be part of that community. And if you want to try it out for 1 month or 3 months and then you decide to up it, then we'll just prorate so that you get the reduced rate for each session that you've participated in. So that's a possibility if you want to join us for that. And you could drop Jeannie a note. It's really developed. It's a small community of people, but we've been meeting now for, I don't know, is this our sixth or seventh session, Jeannie? And so it's really developing.
It's more like
to
the 11th.
Community. Are you serious? No.
Well, maybe not. We have given, we owe them the 11th set of Mind
Right.
Shifters.
So it'll be three. So it'll be 8 months
there,
then. So. Right.
Eight.
So
yeah.
8 months. Yeah, and if you sign up for the year, it includes, there's a project we call the Ever Expanding Mind Shifters List. Normally, and for the last 40 years, I've used a sheet where we have three sets of Mind Shifters, a total of 33. There are 11 in each set. And that's what we've used for years. But when we started this, we decided to create what I call the ever-expanding Mind Shifters List. And each month we add another section. So what Jeannie's saying is we're up to the 11th section. So now instead of 33 Mind Shifters, there are 11 times 11, which would be, what, 112?
Times 13.
13.
There's 13 in each section, yeah.
That's right, 13 in each section. So anyway, so that would be part of your registration if you choose to do the year. So you're welcome to join us for that. And then Jeannie will have in the notes for today a link to a Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop that we're doing on Saturday afternoon. So from 2 to 5 o'clock Eastern Time, and this is a free open workshop. We invite people to donate, but that's not a requirement in any way, shape, or form. There's a Zoom link. You can join us by Zoom, 2 o'clock on Saturday, and it'll be a 3-hour workshop, and we'll go through the whole presentation of Why Is This Happening to Me Again, the live workshop, and step through the worksheet process step by step, give instructions for that. And so if you'd like to join us for that, then grab that Zoom link and join us on Saturday at 2 o'clock. So they're the events that are happening this week. So fun, exciting week. All things rock and roll. I've done, just in the last few days, I've done a couple of different podcasts and more and more expansion of the work. It's moving out throughout the globe. So we did a thing with a physician in Florida. I haven't gotten the information back from him yet, but once we have that, we'll give you a link to that presentation. And then, oh yes, we also did, which is in the newsletter, we did an interview with a fellow that runs a website on Facebook called the marriage support group. And so we did a conversation with the marriage support group leader. And it's actually for that group that we're set up and doing this Zoom Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop. So you can actually join the marriage support group on Facebook, and you can watch it on Facebook Live, or you can just grab the Zoom link and do it with the Zoom link. And that way, when we come to questions, you'll have the space to be able to raise your hand and ask questions. So lots happening this week. So if you're out there in listener land, oh, go ahead, sweetie.
I was typing one note when you were talking about a lady. It sounded like you said Gail Cabron or something like that, and I didn't catch the name to put that in the note.
No, actually, it's a gentleman. He's a Lebanese man who back in the 20s wrote a book called The Prophet. It's Kahil. It's K-A-H-L-I-L. Kahil Gibran, G-I-B-R-O-N, I believe it is.
I found him.
Yeah.
I found him.
And
was it the book, The Prophet, that you were talking out of?
I was quoting, yes, there's each section, there, I forget how many pages, but he addresses all kinds of life issues, and one of them is where this woman asks about children. So, you know, they ask him about, you know, it's like he's in the village and they're asking him, well, what about money? What about family? What about children? And he addresses these issues. Just, it's a very well-known, powerful and sweet piece of writing that has a great deal of wisdom in it. Powerful book. You can order on Amazon or, you know, most bookstores. And it's a really wonderful, inspirational book. I mean, I've had a copy of it for, I don't know, probably 45 years. It was published originally back in 1923. So if you're out there in listener land and you have a thought or a question for us, our call-in number, if you're on one of those stations where we can't see you, it's 563-999-3581. If you call that number, you're listening directly to the show. And when you're listening to the show on your phone, if you push 1, that will raise your hand in the control panel. And we'll be having a conversation. So how can we support you? What's on your mind? If you're out there in listener land, we've got about 15 minutes left, 13 minutes left. So we've got plenty of time for conversation. Push 1. Let's have 1. How can we support you?
The switchboard flickered, but I'm not sure that she raised her hand again, so I may be putting her on the spot. 610. Susan, did you press 1 again?
Whoops. I was, I am here, and I didn't press 1. But I'm always happy to talk to you guys.
Well, we've got you anyway, so nice to say hello. How are you?
Thanks. Well, fine. I asked for prayers for my grandson. Thank you very much. I haven't heard anything from him. An interesting thing is happening in our Zoom group, which meets on Wednesdays right before Dr. Tim's show.
Right.
We haven't been doing worksheets per se. People have been doing their work, and the worksheet is so profoundly incorporated into their thinking processes that most of them do worksheets pretty fast. One young woman was talking about a problem with some roofing people who were doing a bad job, and how she realized she had a goal and realized she had to give up the goal and then asked to be shown, and then actually she has called into the radio show many times. She flipped herself over. She went into her process and flipped herself over and came to a loving, neutral space where she could deal with these guys, and it wasn't that she was letting them off easily or anything. In fact, she's going to have to go to court because they're fighting her, but her feeling about them, her attitude toward them shifted from being angry and feeling put upon to actually sympathizing with them in their situation as workers out in the hot sun and how it had been. Anyway, that sort of thing is happening quite a lot. And the discussions are amazing, and they're all over the place. So it's a lively group. And there was one woman who was telling us how when she came on to the Zoom, she was very discouraged in her life, and she was cynical about the work we were doing. And she says she feels very, very differently now. So that's just a little teeny testimonial.
That's awesome.
I also want to tell you, it is awesome. And we're a functioning group. We have, let's see, 5 or 6 people. It's a small group, but it shouldn't be any bigger anyway, because each person gets a chance to really do some work right there or talk.
That's awesome. And when you look at how people with those types of upsets and angers and frustrations and fears have lived for years and years and years, playing those out with person after person after person, and realizing we don't have to do that. Doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect in our lives, but we don't have to go through that internal craziness in order to address and resolve issues that need to be resolved in the world.
Right.
So it's powerful, isn't it?
Yep, it is. Michael, you did a wonderful thing the other day. You did a lot of wonderful things, but I mean, one thing you did the other day is you talked about how somebody who calls into the show sometimes or whatever, whoever it was, you get triggered by. And I know this. I know everybody gets triggered. But on the other hand, when your teacher, who knows the stuff so well, tells you that he was triggered, it's a gift. It lets us feel a little bit more peaceful about our own triggers. And I don't think in my own life I'll ever get – I don't think I'll ever stop being triggered over various things. But we tend to put people on pedestals, and you just voluntarily stepped down from the pedestal, and I'm letting you stay down that one step, and it's much more comfortable that way.
Good.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. It's easier on me, too. And, you know, the other day I was remembering who it was, but if you look back in the archives – oftentimes, there's a gentleman named Ron Blakeney that calls in. He's been around the world for.
Oh, yeah, I know him. Yeah.
And if you go back, you know, when he calls in, he oftentimes has some stuff to share. I mean, he's pretty straight up and honest about what's going on for him. And he oftentimes leaves me with some work to do. So thank you, Ron. Actually, we haven't heard his voice in a while, but
mm-hmm.
I have to call him and say hello.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I like him very much. Yes. I was never triggered by him.
Sweet man.
I did get, very sweet person. But anyway, there are people in my life who there's no reason why I should be triggered superficially, but I find myself triggered by, so it's an ongoing thing. But I wanted to give you a report on Jacob.
Yes.
Who with great nervousness ended up in New York feeling as if he probably made a mistake entering this program, didn't think he was up for it. After the first night, he called me, which is unusual. Usually we're the ones to check on him. Calls and says,
right.
I'm doing okay. I did my auditions and they went well. And I even told one of the women, I don't talk to people usually. He's a little bit autistic, I think. He doesn't know how to socialize very easily. He said, I actually said to one woman, you have the most effing beautiful, I won't say the word, but he said, you have the most effing beautiful voice. And, of course, that was a wonderful thing for him to do. So we're getting pretty good reports from him. And his younger brother just came home from Israel and has gone right back to living with his dad while his mother's away. And he's very nervous about that. That was a trigger I told you about. I asked for prayers for him.
Right.
If you could keep going on that, that would be wonderful. But the tools are just helping. And I sent the links to your MindShifter, not MindShifter, the
Why is this happening to me again, Saturday?
Yeah. I sent them to my
I'd be awesome if they participated.
I know. I told them they really must. And who knows, you know, but I also sent them to the three grand boys, my daughter's boys, and said, kids, you know, here's the guy. This is the man. And I don't know if they will, too, but they're aware of the work. And my daughter's with the oldest boy, Luke, today and visiting. And there may be a little motion there toward wanting to become sober. He had confessed that he was just so tired of getting drunk all the time. He told his mother that. And she said, well, how can I help? She's been doing Al-Anon, which is very helpful to her. She tries to stay neutral and loving and accepting and non-judging, but she doesn't send him any money, and he asks her on a regular basis because he's ended up going to soup kitchens because he spends his money on liquor and then has nothing. Pretty hard to see.
Right.
Talk about trigger material, though. Whoa, boy. We need those tools. We need them. So that's the report. Anyway, you do have
well,
a big
well, hold the space that Luke is willing to start to face what he's using alcohol to anesthetize himself against and start to process through it and recognize that he can, you know, be free of the pain that motivates it. And then he has a choice over alcohol. He's not going to be driven by it. So certainly hold the space for him.
Thank you. Yeah. So I was going to ask how Jeannie's dad's doing. Any changes?
He's kind of, it seems, settled in at this, home care facility. There's a section, it's a fairly large facility, and there's one section with, I think, 20 or so people in it that are in memory care. And so they're behind locked doors because their memories, you know, their mental faculties don't allow them to, you know, get out into public spaces and such. So he's in that section, and he's kind of become the celebrity. He's become the class clown. He cuts up. Mm-hmm. He's socializing with people and settling in and having fun. So the last couple times I've been there, you know, and there's one nursing assistant in particular, care person in particular, that's really taken a shine to him, and she likes to kind of insult him, and he laughs and she laughs, and they just have a great time together. So he's actually having some really nice social interactions and settling in and being pretty comfortable with it.
Isn't that good? Oh, a load off your minds.
Yes, for sure.
Just
for sure, yeah.
We've
pretty much resolved that he's probably not going to come back home again. That, you know, it looks like he's permanently wheelchair bound. He's not going to walk again. And without the ability to walk and mentally be able to direct his body, it's something we just don't have the facility to handle. So.
Right. Is he able to use that gizmo you rigged up, the transverse bar or whatever it was?
Well, actually, we got that all set up, and the care facility didn't trust it and said, we don't want it here. Take it down. So we just actually this morning packed it up to ship it back to the manufacturer. It's, we did get that put in place. And it was something that was designed to help the staff to transfer him, you know, like from his bed to a chair or to the wheelchair and such. But they just didn't feel like it was secure and safe enough that they wanted the risk of it. They said, well, if you guys want to sign a waiver so that if anything happens to our staff or to him, and, you know, well, that wasn't a reasonable thing for us to be responsible for what their staff does. So we ended up taking it down. And I just realized we're down to the last few seconds. So thank you for being with us, everybody, and have the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. We appreciate you, Susan. Blessings.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here for 2 hours every Monday through Friday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mind Shifters Radio. For more information on Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.